God's word for us as Christians is very important to us. It's a part of our lives, it's part of what we are, it describes who we are as Christians. It tells us how to live. For instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and starting with verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. It tells us everything that we need to know to make us complete people. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So by the knowledge of Christ, he has called us and told us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now for a lot of us, understanding the importance of God's word, it sometimes gets frustrating that the very passage that we want, or we're talking to somebody and there's a passage that we say, well, this is, I need to tell them about this one. And I just can't remember exactly how it goes. Can't even remember really where it's at either. So I can't show it as well. There's a lot in the Bible to remember. And that sometimes becomes a difficulty. In the psalm that we read, Psalm 119, in verse 11 I like to focus on, Psalm 119, in verse 11, says, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. We need to have God's word with us all the time. Now, one way a person can do that is by memorizing the Bible, and there are some people who have accomplished that. I'm always amazed at listening to someone recite something completely from memory. But what's talking about here is not necessarily just memorization. We need to have God's word as a part of us, hidden in our hearts, a part of our lives. In Jeremiah chapter 15, and in verse 16, he describes it in a little different way. Jeremiah 15, and verse 16, says, your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart, for I've been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Sometimes we say, you know, we need to chew on that for a little while. And in a sense, Jeremiah is talking about it in almost a literal sense of his figurative language. He ate God's word. He chewed on them for a little while. It became a part of him. He found nourishment from that. And it became a part of his life. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So we need to let it live within us. In fact, in verse 17 it says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Everything that we do needs to be done with Jesus' approval and with Jesus' authorization. But we need to let that word richly dwell within us. And it's talking about becoming a part of us. So that when we speak like God would speak. In fact, one of my favorite verses is in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Excuse me. in verse 11. 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. When we speak, we do so by God's word. When we do things, we do it by God's strength. The important part is that God always gets the glory. Things that are done is because God laid them out. So how do I make God's word a part of me? How do I manage to do that? Well, memorization is one way. But the fact is, not all of us can memorize very many portions of the scriptures. I know personally myself, I can sit down and read a verse, and I can get that verse memorized. You can ask me a month later, and I'll forget. My mind doesn't work that way. I try, but it just doesn't work that way. And being able to quote passages accurately is good. Don't get me wrong. It should be something. If you got the talent for it, do it. But when you're studying with somebody, also keep in mind that other people can't necessarily memorize the scriptures. So when you're dealing with somebody else and you're trying to teach them God's word, it's good to be able to quote what God says, but it's even better to show that other person in their own Bible what God has said. Because otherwise, how is that person ever going to know that you're saying it right? I've had so many people tell me, well, the Bible says, and they'll start out quoting some verse, and they get two words wrong. And I'm sure they quoted just the way their preacher in their various church happened to quote it. But they got two words wrong. And you go back and you actually pull up the verse as it actually says it in the Bible. And oh, well, that answers their question right there. Because it's not exactly what they had memorized. We need to be able to go back to the source and bring other people back to the source of God's word so that they can see for themselves that it's true. Take a look at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Paul was speaking in Thessalonica. He got run out of town. He went down to Berea, a nearby town. And it says, now these, in verse 11, were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. The apostle Paul was teaching them from the scriptures. But what was impressive about the Bereans to Paul was they didn't take his word for it. They went back to the scriptures and double-checked him to make sure that what he was teaching was accurate, that it really was the way God said it. I'm sure that took a little more effort on their part because, you know, they didn't have books just to flip like we did. They had scrolls. Which means you had to find the right scroll, and then you had to start winding to find the right passage. They put some effort into it to make sure that what Paul was teaching was correct. We need to be the same type of people and understand that when we're teaching other people about God's word, that we're expecting them as well to be able to look at what we said, examine it for themselves. So even when if I happen to have a verse memorized, I always turn to the passage and have the person I'm studying with read from it and have them look at the verse as well. There's two reasons for that. One is I know my memory too well. It's faulty at times. I remember a lot of things, but I've learned that don't trust it because just when I really need it most, it goes haywire on me. So I don't want to be guilty of misquoting a verse. So even if I got a verse memorized, I still go back to the verse, so I don't misquote it. But then also the person I'm studying with can see for himself, this is really what God wants said. This is really what God has said. And it's in his own Bible. Not only that, but they can also then, since they saw it in their Bible, they can go back and look at the context. How many people have quoted you things, said things to you, that were taken completely out of context? And it really wasn't what was being said in that particular passage. Well, how does that person know when I'm teaching them God's Word? And if I say, well, this verse says this, how do you know what else is said around it? Well, go back to the verse. They can glance at it. They can look at it. If they've got a question, they can come back to it and double check to make sure that a verse is not being pulled out of context. Just like when I do these lessons, there's so many other places that, you know, I've been asked several times, why don't we get PowerPoint up here? I know I spend too much time making pretty graphics, but because that's just my nature. But the other reason for it is I just don't like, I've been to places where it is, and they put the verses up. Well, having the reference is fine. But when you start putting the verse up there, people stop turning in their Bibles. I've seen it over and over again. I've been to so many places now that people just don't even open their Bibles during worship service. We need to be a people who know the Word of God. See it for yourself. Look. Then everyone can check to see what I'm saying is really so or not. Best thing, sound I can hear is the rustling of Bible pages as we quote each passage and people looking for those passages. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 18. It says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, Savior, and Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. One of the things also to make God's Word a part of our lives, we have to be never satisfied that we know enough. It's something that we all have to grow in. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 50 years or 50 minutes. Every one of us has room to grow in more knowledge about Christ. It's something all of us need to put effort into. Because once you stop growing, you lose what you have. Never become satisfied, you know enough. There's a verse in Hebrews that's very important as well, in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 13. So for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. It is by putting things to use that it becomes a part of you, that you can then remember it better. I'm sure all of us have run across the times when they said, well, you know, I want to learn more words. So you find this odd word, you learn the definition of it, and to make it really a part of your life, you say, okay, I'm going to stick that into sentences all day today. Try making some way to use this word several times during the day. Then it'll become a part of me. It's no different with the scriptures. It's by reason of use that the word of God sticks with us. If you have no use for it, you're not going to remember it. It's not going to become a part of your life. And memorizing a passage won't do you any good if you don't have an immediate use for it. That's why most of us forget those passages real quickly. I've also met over my years a few very excellent mathematicians. And they can solve the most complex geometric problems you can name. Most of us can't. Most of us can't even remember what formula, or that there even was a formula for that particular problem. And if we were given some complex geometric problem, we would sit there going, I don't even know where to start. But you know what's fascinating? Go watch some of these construction workers putting up some of these buildings. They're solving complex geometric problems daily, every day of their life, putting some really interesting mathematics to use. And most of them probably couldn't do the math in a sense, but they do it every day. It's by the reason of use that they have particular formulas memorized, and they can repeat them and do them every time without much thought and much effort. Repeated use locks ideas into our heads. It also increases our interest. If we have a use for it, then we become interested in it. There's a reason why we don't teach driver's ed to first graders. They have some interest in it, but they have no use for it yet because they can't reach the pedals. They wouldn't remember. We pick things, a certain subject at certain ages, because there's now a time and a use for it. And then it sticks in their heads. So how do we encourage some growth and some use? Well, one of the ways to do it, and we try doing it here quite often, is try to discourage people not to say, I think. How many times in Bible classes you know, somebody answers a question and say, well, I think it's this way. Okay, what verse do you have based on that? Let's get it out of I think into back into what does God say? Sometimes people start to pull apart a verse, and I'll always say when I'm teaching a class, I'll say, okay, let's find that verse. Let's get back to where it actually is. Let's read it for ourselves, not just quote a piece of it. So find the passage first, and then say over in whatever the passage is, it says, and read the passage. You're putting God's word to use then in answering a question. When someone tells you at work, or you're chatting with somebody over the fence and they tell you a problem in their life, think about a passage that would best address their issue and then share that passage with them. It's one of the things I do all the time. People come and ask me, write to me all the time, asking all these weird questions. First thing I do is sit down, okay, what passage would best suit this one? Where am I going to go with this? That's putting God's word to use. When something really bothers you, again, same thing. Think about what passage applies to your situation. One that would best guide you, and then go and read it again. One thing that also helps is in your Bibles, have a little pen next with your Bible. And start yourself a cross-reference in the margins of your Bible. When you run across a verse that particularly fits well with something else, jot the reference down in the margins. So that next time you go to that verse and you say, oh yeah, there was another verse that went real well with this. Where was that? Well, you have your own cross-reference that you have there. Another thing also, I should have brought up my old one. I've got my new one. I haven't moved into it totally yet. Most of your Bibles, in fact, every Bible I've ever seen, I've talked about this before, they have, at least I can show it, they have these blank pages in the front and the back. Make use of those. I haven't got my notes transcribed yet for this new one. But if you take a look at my old ones, it's filled with topics. Little topic headings and a whole bunch of verses with little key ideas next to each one, what this verse is good for. That helps so much when you're studying with somebody. Somebody comes up with a statement and you say, oh yeah, there's a verse for that. Where was it? And I just flip my, you know, you can flip you to the front. Oh yeah, let's go over to this verse. I did that. I was remembering there was one lady Gay and I were studying with, and she was asking some questions. I was coming up with verses for her. And she said, how do you memorize all those verses? So I showed her my reference system. She said, oh. She thought I had it. She had thought I had it all, you know, on the top of my head. No, I just have it written down. I've run across it so many times, I write it down in the front. And when somebody asks me a question that I can't answer, I'll research it. It may take me a week or two, but I'll research. I'll find an answer. You know what happens? Those verses end up in my reference thing on the front. So there are always verses about things that people always are asking me about. I know my memory is not always that good, but I can find it because I made use of it. When you're in lessons, like we said before, when you're sitting down and listening to a sermon or gone to someplace else, look up the passages. I don't care if they put it on PowerPoint and put it in front of you. Look up the passages yourself. Read it instead of trying to rely on what other people supply you. And talk to people about the Bible. There's just nothing like a discussion to get your mental gears in place. Somebody will always ask you something or say something, and you'll take you back and say, oh, I never thought about that way. And there's a good time to go study. I've had so many people say, I get so bored reading my Bible, and I ask them what they do. And they say, well, I started at Genesis, and I tried reading so many chapters. And that's good if you like doing that. Somebody's asking, you know, have you read your Bible? Oh, yeah, I've read the whole thing numerous times. But I've never gone from cover to cover. It's just not my style. But I'll have a need for a certain thing, and I'll go to a particular book. Sometimes I get interested, and I'll read the whole book to get the context of it. I do mine by use, and then have a need for it. And that's the same thing. Go when you start studying with somebody. Somebody's going to ask you a question. Then go study it. If you can't answer that question, that's fine. There's an area that you need to know more about. You got a reason to study it now because you got somebody waiting for you to give you the answer. It'll make you dig. It'll make it a part of your life. And also give yourself reminders. You know, not only like jotting down verses at the front of the Bible, but back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your might. These words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and be as frontlets to your foreheads. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Think about what he's saying there. How do you make God's word a part of your life? How do you put it in your heart? Talk about it all the time. Number one. Number two, write yourself reminders. Write out a favorite passage. Put it on a wall where you can see it. I got a few on the various walls around my house, some of my favorite passages. One woman took that idea. In fact, she took the idea out of Deuteronomy 17. In verse 18, when a king is made a king, one of the requirements for kingship in Deuteronomy 17, verse 18, says, Now it shall come about when he sits on his throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on the scroll in the presence of the Levitical priest. I don't know how many kings actually fulfilled that command or not, but it's a good idea. If you're going to enforce these laws, what do you have to do first? First thing, when you become king, can you imagine, boy, would that really fix our laws? First thing, when you become president of the United States, you got to write down your own personal copy of all the laws. But that's what they did with the Old Testament. When the king became king, first thing he did was he wrote a copy of the Old Testament for himself. One lady I was reading about, she did this, she liked that idea. So she started copying books out of the Bible and then binding them and giving them as gifts to her grandchildren and other people. But she kept talking about how much she learned just from having to sit down and copying it, because it makes you look at it in a different way. And it was a way of putting it to use for her. We also need to think about God's Word. In Psalms 1, verse 2, Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night." Think about what God has said all the time. In Psalm 119 again, this time down in verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Says, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. How many of us do that with God's Word? How often do we think about it all the time? Oh, I don't have time to do it. I got so many things, jobs I have to do. There are places and times during the day that you can think about God's Word. Just to show it to you, look at Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 6. It says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." Here's an idea. Can't sleep at night. What do you do? Think about something out of God's Word. You got this boring task at work to do. You're just having a hard time keeping awake. Can you imagine being on a night watch? It can be boring at times. How do you keep your mind active? Think about God's Word. There are always times when we can think. And we can focus on something that will keep us interested, even during the boring times. And probably the most important, as we said, the best way to learn God's Word and make it a part of your life is to help somebody else learn it. Turn over to Proverbs 15 and verse 7. Proverbs 15, verse 7. It says, "The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of the fools are not so." Wise people spread it because the more people you teach it, the more it becomes a part of you. There's all sorts of learning. A lot of times we try to learn things just purely for learning's sake. But most of us need a goal. Teaching somebody else is a goal. It helps us focus on what we need to learn. One way to also to help learn things is to figure out why things are as they are. I thought it was interesting this morning when I asked during the Bible class, and I asked why. Took Mike off surprise. Why? It's a perfect question. Now, you can memorize all the rules of English grammar. Try to, anyway. There's a lot of them. Or you can sit down and figure out why those rules exist, and the rest of it basically comes easy. If you know why God said this is wrong or this is right, then remembering those rules become easier. Paul does that in Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. And in verse 9, it's before this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there are any other commandment, it is summarized or summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. All these rules and regulations, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this, you don't. What's behind it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so in this particular situation, when I have this, which law actually applies? Well, how are you treating your neighbor? I might not remember exactly the rule, but I know what's behind it. I know the why. And now it makes more sense. Everything else falls underneath that category. See, knowledge is easy to him who understands what the knowledge is about. Over in Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 6. It says, a scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to the one who has understanding. When you understand the why, knowledge comes easy. And as we mentioned before also, never allow yourself to think that you know it all. You have to, when you want to learn God's word, you want to make it a part of your life, you got to accept the fact that there are times that you're just plain going to be wrong. And you're going to learn that some of the things that you thought were right aren't. In Proverbs 12 and verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. You don't want to be told you're wrong, then don't study your Bible. But if you're willing to learn things, if you're really willing to become wiser, you have to also accept the fact that sometimes you're going to be told, well, what I thought was right was wrong. That's part of learning. Corollary to that is you don't have all the answers. Studying with with other people helps because they'll bring up points that you didn't think of before. So you go learn. In fact, never think that you have to have all the answers before you start studying. That's what stops more people than anything else. They think, well, I don't know enough yet, so I can't study with anybody. Totally backwards. Go study with somebody, then you know what you need to learn. It'll make you more profitable in your studies. And don't ignore subjects just because you don't understand them either. Over in Proverbs 1, the last verse we'll be going to, Proverbs 1, verse 22. It says, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffings, and fools hate knowledge. So many people, if they don't know something, they don't understand it, they say, well, I don't need it. It's easy to mock what you don't know. But it doesn't make you a better person. We all need to learn more things. And Bible study is hard for some people because they never make learning the Bible a part of their lives. We need to hide God's word in our hearts. It needs to become a part of us. But it means that we need to see various ways that we can make it a part of our lives by putting it into practical use. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here this morning who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. If there's anyone here who is a child of God and would like to pray to the brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song, Celestial.